What else? Yes, miss.
On that note, in our region, we have tribes that come together at our annual convention every year. And for the past 2 years, they've prioritized public safety, again, echoing the previous question. So at AVCP, we manage the contract with the state of Alaska for the VPSOs in our region. And I remember when we had 30, 40 VPSOs, now we have 8. We employ 8 VPSOs under our current contract, and we have more than 45, 46 villages in our region. So I've shared this with Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan, and I've also shared this with Secretary Zinke. Considering our location along the Bering Sea coast and the increased traffic of the ships that are going by, the international highway that's right in our front yard, every community that's along the coast of Alaska, especially along the Waikei Delta, we have some really large communities along the Nelson Island area, mouth of the Yukon, mouth of the Kuskokwim, and Nunavak Island. Whenever there's an emergency or any kind of out of ordinary activity, either in the village or right around the village, the very first phone call goes to either the right hand of the community, the left hand, that is the VPSOs working with the health agents. So if we have any kind of instance that happens on this Bering Sea coast of ours, and it's more than 1,700 miles of coastline, AVCP only has 8 VPSOs to contribute to the handful of state troopers that are basically protecting the northern border of the United States. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, first you went from how many were to 8?
More than 36.
What happened? Why isn't there more than 8?
State budget cuts.
Budget cuts in legislative? Well, again, that's something we have to see. What we goes back to the total package about where the money's being spent. On the federal level, we might try it to the Secretary of Interior Zinke, but the point I'm trying to get across is if we get money, how do we make sure it's going to go specifically to this area without earmarks? Or your belief? I'm shocked that there's only 8 now. How do you do the job with 8?
Exactly.
I'm if we went to some 40 down to 8, by the way, state's not broke. I'm going to be saying that right now. But that's a constituent, not a congressman. I'm looking for congressional solutions. We'll have to see if there is money available under the Department of Interior for that specific arena. And it goes back, quite frankly, I still say that the tribes themselves ought to have control of a lot of the policing that goes on, in fact, most of it. And that's very, very, people aren't happy when I say that, but who knows better than who's doing wrong, and who knows better than how to solve the problem and what punishment should be given? What do you think of that about it? You know, in Fort Yukon, I was the mayor. If someone did something wrong, we put them in our jail. They never went to Fairbanks. They didn't ask for any troop or anything. And it worked. Obviously, we can't do that anymore. Why not? What we're doing is not working. So that'll be a revision of some of our existing practices of the laws and say, all right, let's get back to law and order and not abuse of drugs or violence, because we're allowing it to happen in our system. If the system's not working, let's review what we had, or is there a new way to do it? That's all I ask you to think about. I can go on all day. Yes, sir. Jerry, what do you got? You keep writing things down there. You bother me.
I'm making sure you're...
Uh-oh, she's going to go yeah. Police me out there. What else we got? You guys in the back row are awful quiet. I'm an old school teacher, and I'd like to see who's not doing it. Yes, sir.
Ma'am,
excuse me. I'm sorry.
She brought up, because I work as a tribal police officer, I think, and I agree with you that the tribe should take more responsibility. But then... when they come to these conferences, and year after year, it's public safety being the number one concern. But then if you have to look at the way the tribes manage their tribal police officers, if they have any, they're paying minimum wage, they have no benefits, no nothing. They basically give you parakeets, no training, and say, here, we'll do this job. And then I think before they try to put money to police officers, they need to put more training to administrators who will be able to handle policies and promote and look for people that will be able to do that job. Because most people that work as tribal police, they quit within a year or less.
I don't blame them. I'm just saying that's part of the package. If you're going to have a security package and a safety package, you got to be part of the money that's spent to get the safe. If you don't do that, you're just throwing on the wall.
Yeah, I do.
And I am, but I'm not going to be able to solve that problem for you totally. This again goes back to representation in the state legislative body, and the belief it has to be done, and you have to back it up yourselves. You know, and where my role comes in, if there's money within the Interior Department and we don't have earmarks, can we identify it for this project? There's a lot of other areas in the United States that have maybe the same problems. I'm just going to be very difficult. So I'm saying do as much as you can on the local level with the state to try to get these things solved. But we have to recognize the problem, again, is what you mentioned. And in all due respects, it's not a new problem. It's just accelerated recently, primarily, I think, because of the misuse of drugs and alcohol. And we have to accept that, that is a problem. I can't solve it all. I wish I had a magic wand. Anybody tells you they can, they're all full of it. What else we got?
Yes, sir. On a grander scale of aviation, on the aviation portion of radars out here that aren't out here, that, you know, we're one of the busiest areas with small aircrafts flying in and out, and we have a tower that can't see half the planes in the air because of the antiquated equipment that they're using for air traffic control. Is there any way, what can we do? And that's national. The whole system of air traffic control is kind of antiquated.
It's outdated. We're trying to upgrade the personnel and bring in new equipment. We get criticized to the FAA not being aggressive enough and factual enough to put in. You know, we've lost in Bethel most of our on-ground weathermen. I don't think I have anything left before. We used to have a
machine out that started.
Yeah, and that's a joke because you have different climatic conditions here. It can change in 3 hours.
Yep.
No one's looked at a plan what would make it work. We're using an old plan that's not working because we cut back on it. Okay, what would make it work? And come up with a suggestion and a solution to it and present it to me, and then we'll go to the FAA and say, why can't you do this? And if they say, well, we're not going to or we can't, that's when we can try to work on legislation to make them do it. But I can't write it for you. Very frankly, you want to screw it up, let Congress write it. And so you know the problem. We did have Capstone was one of the first modern navigation systems in the state and in the nation. It was here in Bethel.
Yeah, and it's 40 years old.
And it's 40 years old. So, I've been there 45. Right. I wanted to remind you.
Yeah, so that's the sad thing. It was, but they've never
they didn't keep it up. Yeah. And the traffic is not going to decrease, it's going to increase. You know, and especially in this area, because you don't have any roads, you're not going to get any roads, any consequence. You know. One thing you could help me on as a transportation bill again is one of the biggest challenges we have is the villages who never had traffic before now have lots of cars. The biggest challenge we have respiratory wise and health wise for infants and senior citizens is dust. And we've tried all kinds of different things. I need to get more infants into it because that's worse than smoking. Fort Yukon is a classic example. We'll go back to Fort Yukon again. We did try when out in Anheuser-Busch we got some kind of liquid from the making beer and we put it on our streets and it works, by the way. It solidifies, works pretty good. It does attract bears though. We have more bears per square inch. And we didn't even have to go to the grocery store for a while. I mean, they're licking the damn because it's sweet.
Yeah.
And just to give you a little hint. Sometimes you don't get what you think you're getting. You get something different. What's Mike? What's your time schedule?
good. You've got time for two or three more questions.
Okay.
Many of the comments that I'm hearing is wanting the villages to, or the communities to do their own thing. Can you speak a little bit on your Empowerment Act?
Well, my Empowerment Act, thank you for asking. I'm happy to report one thing and unhappy with the other thing. There was an Empowerment Act introduced in the Senate side that follows mine, but not to the extent mine did. And they asked me the other day, they called me up, would I accept the Senate bill, or am I insisting on my bill? And I'm one of these people that believes in, when you eat an elephant, I let us say a jackass, but when you eat it, you do it one bite at a time. So this is better than what we have, trying to give you more empowerment, and we'll follow through that. I really believe that you have the ability to run your own affairs. And everybody said, well, you're talking about anarchy. No, I'm not. I don't see anybody who wants to do bad things in these villages, really. And if they do, they suffer from it themselves. So to answer your question, my Empowerment Act, which is my act, would give the villages and the corporations the authority to manage their lands and to take and police themselves and empower themselves in their development or non-development of the resources. More self-governance. Now, all I've heard in my 45 years, we're going to let all the natives have self-governance. They don't give nothing. It's talk. And so I'm arguing that's what's going to happen. Thank you, Willie, for asking that question, too. One more. You're back in the room, they're awful quiet, you know, and you're sitting there looking at me, and you with no hair on your head.
Well, Superintendent Walker kind of hit the thing. We have significant issues with teacher housing. My name is Ed, I'm Director of Operations at LKSD. We have significant issues of building, you know, we've got Tarvik starting up in, we're going to have students across from Newtalk next fall. We can't get housing out there. You know, it's extremely expensive to get housing. So when you spoke to that, it's kind of what my intent was when I came here.
Again, I don't know the total solution. I still say it has to be part of the education package. I don't know anybody in June's even thought about housing. But it should be part of it, because you can't have a teacher that doesn't have housing, they're not gonna teach. So, you know, maybe there's a package there we can work on the state level, and we will look and see if there's any money from the federal level to build in emergency cases for housing for education. I don't think there is, but we can definitely take a look at it, because it is the number one problem. I go back to my Fort Yukon. I got you at my mercy right now. I was a high school coach in California. Came up here, worked construction work, and they finally figured out I was a teacher. I get a call from Dr. Gray, Fort Yukon, and he says, I understand you're a coach. And I said, yes, I am, sir. And he said, we'd like you to come to Fort Yukon. You'd be the first coach above the Arctic Circle, brand new gymnasium, give me all this stuff. I get on the airplane, fly up there, he picks me up, we go up, brand new school, brand new living quarters. And he said, don't get used to it. We don't have a gym. There's no football field. And I said, what? And he says, you're not coaching. You're going to teach the fifth grade. No other airplane for a week flew out of Fort Yukon. I had knew nothing about fifth grade. I mean, you talk about leaving no child behind. And my living quarters was a newly married couple that were going to teach the sixth and seventh grade, and I taught fifth grade. That's who I was going to live with. I went down, because they lost a teacher, the reason I got there. I go down, and I go into the classroom. I got 25 Navy students there, good students, not all of them, but most of them. I put four of them through college, four of them went to jail. I think I did pretty good. But the living situation wasn't so good. Barbara and Gary Notaboom, sixth and seventh grade. Gary was a chauvinist for 100% because I'm just sleeping in this little bedroom and they had one bed, you know, terrible. But anyway, she's trying to strike the match and he'd make her get up to light the fire every morning, you know. Sounds good, looks good, ain't good. And she was striking it, and I said, I couldn't resist it. Barbara, if you struck the right end of that match, it'd light. Not a good thing. And she threw him out, and I went down the street. I heard that there was a old trapper had a place for sale. There was no housing for teachers. So I went down and I did buy that little tiny 14 by 17 house, one of the best investments I ever made. That's where I live. And so it's not a new idea. But how do you keep teaching? Most of our teachers turn, I stay, but most of them are there for a year, 2 years, and they leave because they don't have housing. And if you got a married couple, they're darn well not going to stay in a house that doesn't have facilities and everything else. They're not going to do it. So it is the biggest challenge. So how do we solve it? Again, I still think it should be part of the package of the state legislative education budget. Otherwise, you're just wasting your money because you have your turnover degree. And we'll look on the federal level and see if there's any way we can create some kind of a housing program, or it's already there, maybe USDA or some other program, to build some houses for teachers, because you can't do it. Now, I will say on education, I have to tell you one other thing. I think, and this is what my principal, we are spending a lot of money on education and some of our results are really not good. Not up here, around the state. And I've said, okay, let's review why it's not working. In fact, is why are we using the model? It was actually developed in 1850. Same school system, same bell ring, same period, go down the line. Maybe we ought to look at it a different way. Maybe we ought to have classes that teach one subject. Some schools do this for 8 weeks. Just one subject. Go from A to Z. Test them on it while away. And then go to another subject. And in the middle of that subject, test them on the first subject. See how much you're retaining. How much brain power did we create as teachers? I mean, I think we ought to do that instead of saying, okay, the solution is throw a gob of money at it. Maybe it's that's not the way to do it. I'm just talking as the teacher now, because one of the things that frustrates me, you know, maybe it's not in some of our rural schools, and going to a classroom, which I've done in some of my larger urban schools, and have right in the middle of an education lecture, whatever you want to do, and have, will Mary please come to the front office? Her cat's loose at home. Who gives a rat's tail? I mean, think about that. Disruption of trying to teach the student. You already got a bunch of it when you get seated in class. It takes you 5 minutes, everybody gets seated down. And 5 minutes before the bell rings, everybody's looking at their watches. So then you interrupt it twice during that period of time. How does anybody learn? I just want you to ask yourself that. It's not a good system. I'd like to change it. I'm not going back to teaching because I was a thumper, by the way. You know what a thumper is, don't you? Boy, that used to get their attention a little bit right here. And it really didn't hurt anybody, but you can't do that either. All right, he's telling me I got to go. Thank you for coming by, and thank you, and I appreciate it. Thank you, William. Thank you very much.